Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What is good, y'all? Welcome to Barn Burner here on a Tuesday. Look at that. There's one, two, three. Back together. Look at this.
Oh, feels so good.
Doesn't it look so really, great?
Are we really back together? Like we're on together, but we're all spread out too.
Could we be back together soon? Yeah.
Please. Oh, we're going to be back together. Look out.
Big are party. We?
Oh,
no, yeah. Soon.
Because I'm, leaving.
Well, if we can get you to leave your house, we'll be back together.
Yeah. That's going to change. Kind of like it. Here we are on a game day. The LA Kings, the team that Rhett last week, after an 8-2 drubbing over the Flames, said, that might be the team. I don't want any part of the Kings. They look like they could be the team to beat. I want no part of them in a 7-game series. It's that team.
Yeah.
12-game point streak. They come into the Dome tonight to face the Flames, who, as we know, are in must-win mode.
So 10-0-2 in 12. That's good, hey? 10-0-2.
Well, if you like winning, if winning's your thing, right?
It's kind of what you hoped the Flames would do 10 games ago, and if they had,
right,
then we'd be in. Very excited right now. Probably less of a must-win situation. They'd have less pressure on themselves tonight if they'd have done what the Kings did over the last 12 games.
But tonight,
just reel off 10,
tight, 10-0-2, tight sphincters. Oh. Yeah. Bungholes puckered across Flames Nation as the Flames take on the LA Kings tonight. But you know what? They're due. Flames will come in all cocky. Like we hammered these guys last week. They were out last night at Cowboys or something, getting all hammered, doing shots, doing, you know, lines of stuff. And they'll come in tonight just be completely right off of their game. Oh, they're from LA. Are you kidding?
Doing what?
Although higher tolerance for stuff like that. But no, they were out partying, I'm sure, last night. And they'll be out of sorts tonight. So the Flames will have them right where they want them. That's what I'm going with.
Flames 1-1-1. Each team's won one. Each team's had a setback and overtime, and
Monday nights in Calgary are hard to deny. I mean, you got to get out there and party.
Legendary, they are legendary. All right, so Pinder, you're back. Let's get an update.
How we doing? You're right. Every time I checked in, you were still at your house.
You're back. You were off. We said yesterday we figured manicures and pedicures would be done in time for your flight yesterday. How was the fruity tooty trip down to Palm Springs?
You know what? It was good to hang with the old man. He's 71 now, so you never know what. You got to take advantage when you got a chance.
It's not that old. Jacked.
71 is not that old.
It's not that old.
just, you know, like
it's not gravy.
Well, just let me explain. So like we practice around Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday matches, whatever. It's a golf tournament. Like the bugger's already gimping around halfway through Wednesday's round. Like he's shredded his Achilles or something. I'm like, holy, is he going to be able to finish today? We got three more after this. So, you know, it's,
well, what about you? How's your hoof?
My hoof was good. I did what Rhett did and ignored Western medicine. You know, nice. Take the doctor's advice, throw it out the window. I'm going to do 18,000 times the daily dose and for one day, and I'll be back.
Yes.
Yeah. See, Rhett, I called Dr. Rhett. Boom. When in doubt, call Dr. Rhett. It's, I couldn't find Dr. Well, Nick. I called Dr. Rhett.
More people should call Dr. Rhett and get great advice.
Yeah. I was take some grass clippings and sawdust and put in a blender with some blood cells and drink that shit.
Lights. Yeah. Blue blockers.
Yeah.
All that stuff. No, I was pain-free by pretty much Tuesday afternoon. So it was, we tacked early, got it, and then boom, back to hundo.
Were you playing 36 holes?
No, these guys are too old for that shit. We were playing 18 a day. Yeah. And the weather was like 22 and sunny. So it was not hot, but it was warm and beautiful, and the sun was shining, and yeah, life was good. They got to figure it out.
Did you let yourself go, or how was your self-restraint? Like, were we mature about this, or were we typical?
I didn't drink until Saturday afternoon because I was very weary about a comeback for the gout guy. So,
yeah,
I was very dull and boring. See, we wondered. And not, I was sober.
Yeah, we wondered what kind of a show you would put on when you're around Dad, if it was going to be different.
Yeah.
That you waited till Saturday to have anything to drink. There's our answer. Oh, hi, Dad. Would you like some Dasani? Yes, I would love. I would love some Evian and some. Oh, are those fresh grapes? Those, that would be delicious. Not the average run of the mill Pinder trip, clearly.
Yeah, I don't know what the water stuff's about, but it was. He doesn't like. He's golf's very serious. This is his thing. He needs to obsess about something. Golf's his thing. All the guys out there love him. He's a beauty. He had a hole in one on Monday, so he was in great spirits.
Oh,
yeah.
So then he bought.
That's why everyone likes him. He keeps handing out free beers, I think.
So how many holes in one has he
had? I want to hear the hole in one story. Like, what do we talk?
That was his fourth. I was caddying for
him. Fourth hole in one?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he's been doing a lot of golfing. He just says, it's just a numbers game. You golf enough, you're going to get a bunch, which, you know, there's some validity to that. But you also kind of have to be good at golf. That's the other part.
I thought that about Stanley Cups, and it didn't work out. I thought,
they'll give you one. So you lipped out three times on Stanley Cups, friends. Just burned the edge.
So close. Oh,
the pin. How did I get the pin?
That first cup final, that was a long putt. No one was making that putt, Retro. No, you guys weren't going to hit that putt. That third one, I some say it was in the cup and popped out. There was a frog in there or something that popped the ball back out of the cup. I'm not sure what happened. Four, that's a lot, though. That's a lot.
It is. I thought he was less than that, but it all makes sense. He's a happy guy down there, so it was good. Got to see, obviously, my mom as well, and my sister and her crew just rolled down for spring break. So I got to throw kids in the pool for 2 days. So, you know. So,
did you give her a big kiss? Adventure.
No, still no. Yeah. And people still texting, actually, oddly enough.
You'll tell us when you're ready.
Did you play that video again? I saw a clip and it was a two box, not a three. And I'm like,
maybe.
Are you ever going to go on vacation so we can tar and feather you when you're not there to defend yourself? Or what's your story? You need some rest.
So Flames and Kings tonight. Adrian Kempe, very good. Magnus Arvidsson, very good. Kevin Fiala, very good. Drew Doughty, as it turns out, very good. They have about three guys who aren't on some sort of a point streak. I looked this morning. So, points, and very good. Oh, good, they're loving friggin' life right now because we talked about it last week when they played. They didn't have Fiala, who was their leading scorer. He came back last game. Quick 2 points. Good to be back, guys. Let's keep rolling.
Hey,
the West... because I know you'll talk about it probably in the Pinder report, two more teams punch in the East. The East that we've talked about is going to be a dogfight. But are you taking your life savings and putting it on any one team in the West right now? I don't see how you could. Nope. You like Colorado, but do you like them that much more than, say, L.A. or Minnesota or whatever? I don't know.
If they're ever healthy, I do. That would be the only exception. We haven't seen it all year. They have not been healthy all year. And so if Colorado was healthy, I'd feel strongly about them. But, I mean, for them to be healthy, it's like, well, we haven't seen it yet, so maybe we won't, right? It's, you know, Makar out again and then back again. Landeskog just skating. It's been chaos they've had to deal with for injuries, like insane. The fact that they are where they are is a testament to how good Rantanen's been and McKinnon's been. But if they were right, I think that's your clear-cut horse in the West. We're just sort of waiting for that, and it might not happen. Right?
Has anyone done a better job of signing free agents or bringing them in than LA?
They're well run. Yeah, there's. I think, you know, we always fall victim to like, oh, these teams that have been really good for 3-4 years, they sure are good at running teams. It's like, of course they are. Like, yes, but they've been particularly shrewd. You know, the Nichushkin re-signing, everyone thought that's crazy, and he's having another fantastic year. He had zero goals and they brought him in. It was like a no money deal. Now he's making like seven or whatever.
And Dan Dano, you know, was a good one too. Or Dano, which one? Sorry. Dan Dano.
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 In LA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought we were talking about Colorado, but yeah.
No, he had said LA.
Colorado or LA?
I switched it back to LA because we're not playing Colorado. And I just think it's impressive that they went and got Arvidsson, Dano. Was Fiala a trade or a free agent thing?
Trade.
Arvidsson and Fiala were trades. Yeah. So they had all that draft capital from three losing years and selling off guys and turned that into players. That was well done.
Okay. Well, then I guess they're not impressive in free agency if those were
that
trades.
That said, though, but there's a lot of teams that go to free agency and make trades and they don't necessarily pan out. I think they've got to be happy with pretty much all of those moves. Right, those of all maybe down the road,
top
the picks
five
that,
scores.
Right, those picks may turn into superstars for the other teams down the road, but those guys, they have all seemingly fit in, and they've drafted a lot of those guys. We talked about it the other day: Lizotte and Ayafalo and Velarde and Kempe and all that. There's a lot of homegrown there too that they've done a hell of a job with.
I think Lizotte was an unsigned college free agent, and we were making fun of the guy. I remember seeing him in a preseason.
Yes.
Like Lizotte, and it's like some, you know, mid-sized school in Minnesota or something, and you're like, oh, this fucker can actually play a bit. Like, he's tenacious, he's not big, and sure enough makes the team, and it's like, yeah, still there, got him for nothing. Good work.
It was your line before last season when we didn't really expect the Flames to have much in the way of offense. You're like, Jesus Christ, this is gonna be a long year. Tuesday night, and Blake Lizotte's shorthanded goal stands up as the winner as the Kings win 2-1 at the Dome. Like, it was that sort of thing. I was like, fuck, I'd take me a Blake Lizotte. How do you get one of these guys?
But well, I mean, it's probably your Walker Dura equivalent, right? Like, it's a guy that
Walker Dura! You mean the guy with two goals, three assists his last five games? Come on, Walker Dura, let's go.
You don't have the
Brett
Walker
said
Dura
yesterday button. He's getting a jersey.
If I had to buy a jersey, it'd be a Walker Dura jersey.
He's going to the Dome when he gets here, buying a Walker Dura. I'm not
going to the Dome. I thought he was going to go with the Dennis Gilbert, the Buffalo Junior Saber. I mean, come on now, Dean.
I don't mind Gibby. Gibby gives you the honest effort. Gibby's all right, but yeah. I like that Walker Dura.
Walker Dura. Yeah, how don't you?
It's crazy that he's been out since he came up. Because we've liked it every time we've seen him. And like that line can be less effective, but it's not usually him. It's usually Lewis and Luch doing their thing, right?
Unless, like, why like you said, right? Unless,
ozone penalty Nick Ritchie. What the hell's going on here?
Unless he was dinged up, right? Unless there was something there that we don't know about. But yeah, between what he's done and what the coach covets, why would he be out of the lineup? Why would they take him?
Ever.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Want to mention for tonight's matchup, Mad Rose Pub doing it one more time for us. We wrap up the games as far as ours are concerned for the month of March. A little game day experience courtesy of Mad Rose Pub up in Royal Oak. Ryan Hunter. Congratulations, Ryan. You are going to be having one heck of an experience. Such a great experience. A little gift card from Mad Rose and up at Royal Vista Place, and have a great night tonight. The pizza, the burgers, pasta, steak, top shelf grub at Mad Rose Pub just yesterday, and somebody else into the old Twitter. Hey, went to Mad Rose. Love it. You guys aren't lying to us. We wouldn't do it. We wouldn't lie to you. Mad Rose Pub. Check out the menu. Check out all the specials. MadRose.pub online. Again, 15 Royal Vista Place. Let's welcome our NHL insider, Frank Saravalli, who is standing by in Philadelphia, the Windy City. Frank, welcome to the program. It's good to see you. We have not seen you in a while. You've been taking a little quality time. Spending and taking some right now, even now he doesn't want to come on the show. I'm not sure what we've done to Frank, but even now,
like, what have we said? Yeah. We argue with him a little bit, and he just not going to put up with it.
Yeah, well, he came in, he stirred up shit about Huberdeau. We called him on it, and then he hasn't come on since. So I don't know.
Oh,
very delicate insider. Very thin.
Huberdeau back now that he's on left wing, or no?
Anyone from Philly usually has a little thicker skin than old Frank, I guess. I don't know. I expect.
Yeah, right. You're gonna throw stuff out there. You got to be ready for a little bit of blowback, but not this guy.
By the way, Rhett, I got a special hello for you. Neon Dion, your boy from 04, is in town with an LA Kings group of fans and partners that are here. Many Los Angelians, or whatever you'd call Los Angeli, Los Angeligo, they're curling today. And Dion's up as an ambassador of the club.
So. He'd be able to curl. He'd show him the intern and the outturn.
He could, for sure. Junior and Red Deer, you're damn right he can curl.
You ever curl, Frank?
I want to curl. It's on my bucket list. But, guys, my video is super delayed. I think there's an issue on my end.
Yeah, you're a little... Your little curling, do a little toe curling, like they say in, you know what I'm saying.
I don't know who says that.
It's a letter, Kenny thing. Anyway, good to see you, Frank. So the Boston Bruins, best team we've ever seen, ever. They can clinch, I believe, the President's Trophy tonight. Is it truly a curse? Should the Bruins just lose out the rest of the way, avoid the President's Trophy, so they can avoid the President's Trophy curse? It's going fucking great. Yeah.
Well,
he really doesn't want to be on this show. First question, he does. You, gone. Does he?
Dumb questions. See? Dumb media. He's just like, he's like me. The media is dumb. They ask dumb questions.
No, I want to know what he's been doing. He wasn't here last week. Look at—he's got some color in his face. He didn't have that kind of color when you were in Jasper when we saw you in January. I know that. What have you been doing?
It's because you guys barely see the sun in the winter. No, I'm good. I took 3 days off last week, and it wasn't. I wouldn't even call it quality time. If anyone has visited the Mouse in Orlando like I did last week. That ain't quality time. That's punishment for any parent.
The Mouse.
Hair on fire. The Mouse. Oh.
Did you get the fast pass? Did you at least do it right?
No, here's the thing. So the fast pass, like, they changed all of it up, and you got to pay 15 bones per ride per fast pass. Family of four, what? $60 per ride to get on the fast pass. Like, sorry, I know I value my time, but that ain't happening. And then you go across the street to Universal. They want 200 bones per person per day, and you only get to skip half the line. So you still got to wait in half of it. And the ticket to get in is another 175. So we're talking almost 400 bones per person per day per park. Like, that's without even buying a pop.
America's broken, Frank. You can't let this stand. Come on now.
I'm done. I'm out for a while. I'm just, I left just absolutely defeated. Like that guy walking into the hotel lobby, I saw, it's like he had 5 kids in tow. He was wheeling a cooler. And I looked at him and I just said, I know how you feel, buddy. It's fried like a tomato. My every part of me hurts from walking around and then standing in line. Kids are crying because they don't want to be in line. It's just like, what? I looked at my wife. I said, what are we doing here? Who said this was a good idea?
I don't know why there's not a reality show or a tour where you just take people and sit them in the right at the exit of those big theme parks and just feed them beer and let them laugh as the people walk out. Just the viewing of the people leaving with their kids, how distraught, broke, frustrated, mad, screaming, fighting. Like that's what you go to the Mouse World to watch. Just watch the people leave and melting down.
Like, I mean, you mentioned some, you said, oh, I thought people from Philly have thick skin. Like, dude, I literally, like quite literally have some thick skin. I, speaking of melting, like, so then you make it 89 degrees.
Some like, humidity in there.
Yeah, like, come on, man. Like, I just, enough is enough. Like, who thought this was a good idea?
Did the kids have fun?
Hey.
No, that's the worst part. My son looked at me, he's 8, he goes, Dad, I hate waiting in lines. Like, this sucks. And I was like,
right?
You think I like this? Like, wait a second. You think I picked to come here? Okay, cool.
I went during COVID, Frank. There's no one there. It's awesome. Oh, it's wicked. Wicked.
Is that why Dean is home? Does he have the virus?
Yeah. He's got a virus. It's weird because it's not the Rona.
Yeah. It's my give a shit meters at an all time low. Well, they didn't have COVID in Florida. That was the thing. You should have done that, Frank. Florida, they didn't have it. Where, Texas? Did they have it in Texas? I don't think they had it there either. It was amazing.
Red states didn't get it. It's crazy.
Yeah. Crazy stuff.
Can't because test I was going to say can't about, have it if you don't test for it.
Yeah, about the mouse, you know all that going in. These are going to be long days. And it's going to be expensive. You just hope that it's one of those things that the kids are like, this was the greatest thing we've ever done. Then at least you feel like, yeah, this was the shits, but at least the kids had the time of their lives. When the kids are like, can we go back? There's a pool at the hotel. Can we go to the pool? We want to go swimming. Jesus Christ.
That's all they cared about.
You could have just got a hotel room for a couple $100 downtown with a water slide, saved yourself a whole lot of time and anguish. But you're a good dad, Frank. Good for you.
You get home after, so you get back to the hotel after all that. It's 9 o'clock at night. You're dead exhausted. And like, hey, Dad, can we go night swimming? No. No, we can't. Dad is broken.
Yeah. Well, I'm really sad to hear that, Frank. Hearing that you had a horrible time really breaks me up. So now what are you doing?
I'm a miserable prick.
Yeah, that's all right. You fit in well. What's the latest now? You got to get back into the swing of things. Are you getting ready for a big busy month of travel in April?
I don't know on the travel front yet. Might be doing a lot from here. But tomorrow, top 50 free agents. We cruise right along, right back into it's going to be top 50 free agents. At some point in May, we'll have a trade targets and right back into it again.
Okay, so give us a teaser. Who's free agent this summer? Like, we've all been fixated on trade deadline and playoff races, but yeah, there's some big names there. Like, give us a sampling of the top 5-10 maybe.
Okay, so this is full disclosure. Like, this is not me trying to pump anything up or pump anyone up, because this free agent class is, I think it's the worst we've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. And look, I'm not knocking the guys at the top. Like, someone will sign Patrick Kane, and, you know, I'd be real curious to see what he looks like after the hip surgery that he apparently needs this summer. But right now, it's kind of a toss-up for number one free agent, and I need to decide this afternoon between, hold on, if you're sitting down, Damon Severson from the New Jersey Devils or Michael Bunting from the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's our top free agent this year.
Scott Mayfield is deeply offended.
Yeah, well, okay, Scott Mayfield... he'll be in the top 10 somewhere. I just like,
that's
like,
horrifying.
Where do you have Nick Ritchie or Milan Lucic in that list?
They're in the NR category, not ranked.
I see.
Not relevant. I was
going
to say
not returning, not relevant. I wasn't sure where we were going to go with NR on that. So I mean, I don't know what we
Here's
say.
Here's the thing,
I
though. Watched... If Daryl Sutter is returning, which major if, I would say there's a chance that Milan Lucic is returning.
Okay, I'm more interested in the first part. There's the contract extension, we believe it is for 2 years beyond this season that it is signed. And there is still belief, though, that might be something that's in place, but it doesn't guarantee that he's coming back. He needs to want to come back is probably the big part of it. I'm not looking to get you to say something or anything, but there's just been a lot of people from the hockey world kind of reaching out. What's going on in Calgary? We're hearing things. Is Daryl coming back? It seems like there's a sentiment that it's not a lock that he's coming back.
Oh, I would say it's not even close to a lock. It's not even a coin flip that he's coming back. Look, this season has been off the rails more or less from the start. And this team falling short of a playoff spot and having an opportunity, in fact, just having the Winnipeg Jets open the door in these last 5 weeks has sort of been an incredible, you know, opportunity for this team to get in. And they still don't have what it takes to get there, don't have the goods, don't have the consistency, the confidence. They don't have a lot of it things. But when it comes to the coach, I think the frustration has built so much from every facet of the organization, from staff members to front office to whoever it may be that's around the team on a daily basis, including the players. It's worn on everyone. And I can say confidently that changes are coming this summer, this offseason. I just don't know who they are and who it's going to be, because it certainly, I think there's a possibility that Brad Treliving is no longer the general manager. There's the possibility that Daryl Sutter is no longer the coach. There's a possibility that both of those men are not back in their same roles next season. There's a lot up in the air, a lot to figure out. And the way that this has all unfolded we're in the pre-eruption of volcano stage right now.
So do you lay all their Flames' lack of success at Daryl's feet?
Nope, I didn't say that at all. I just said that the way this season has unfolded, his constant, I don't know, you played for him, Rhett, so you what's the best way to say it? Is it constant negativity? Is that how you describe it? No.
He can be negative, but it's more the constant
needling.
It's not needling. It's there's always a pressure. I don't know. Like you said, I don't think that negativity is always even the correct word to use. There's always
no
push.
Level of satisfaction, right? Fair, Rhett?
You are not allowed to be happy with anything you've ever done. It's always, well, what are you going to do next? Right? Not that you should be stopping after you win a game and kicking your feet up for 3 weeks, but we beat, and I've said this before, we beat Anaheim in the first game of the first round in overtime, came in the room, pumped up, gotten shit. It was like, and then we went on to lose that series. And I think that had a big part of that played a big part of it, because it was like, wait a minute, we're in the playoffs. The only thing that matters is winning. We did win. We won in overtime, had to suck it up to get the win, and you go into the room afterwards, and you got shit for allowing Anaheim to stick around in game one. It was like, oh, okay. I mean, I don't know if that explains or gives you kind of insight as to what they feel, but that's how it is.
I understand it, because – personally, that's probably how I beat myself up, but it's not how I would manage a team or run a team. And whatever you want to describe it as, I don't have the proper word for it, but whatever the Daryl Sutter experience is, this isn't what it was supposed to be, in the sense that The Flames brought him back designed to be on a short-term run. And I don't know how that contract extension ended up getting negotiated or what was in. It was supposed to be 2 years and out, or 2.5 years and out. And
okay, but
last year winning the Jack Adams, whatever that ended up doing, it pushed this timeline further back. And now there's an expiration date.
There always is, and there is for most coaches, and I'm not in disagreement with you, but that's where the confusion comes in for me. He wins a Jack Adams last year, best coach in the world. This year can't coach.
I don't think it has anything to do with coaching. I don't think anyone thinks he's still that he's a bad
the same
coach.
Buttons. He's still trying to push the same buttons. Fact is, whenever you win, it's easier, right? You go to Jersey.
But he's pushed multiple players out.
Wow, he's been an idiot in some of his media sessions and what he's said about people, and I think he's really upset a lot of people. I mean, I had a buddy that played pro, an alumni, a good friend of mine, called me yesterday, and he was like, can you believe that he said that about Pelche after his first game? And I'm like, no, I can't believe it. That is one of the classless things that I've ever heard him say. And I've heard him say a lot of stuff, but I still, I can't lay everything at one man's feet.
That's
is what,
not
I'm
what I'm
saying.
Doing.
No, yeah, I'm don't not think saying you are. I'm not saying you are, Frank. A lot of people are.
Yeah,
everybody.
There's blame to go around on the GM, for sure, assembling this roster. You've been critical of the sort of lack of overarching plan, which I think is entirely fair. There's blame to go around for all the players too, outside of a select few that have vastly sort of exceeded what they should be doing. And it's really kind of only Toffoli and Lindholm, more or less. And some other players have had some decent years on the back end, but nothing really that gets you super excited. And everyone else, including the guys that signed mega long-term extensions, haven't been anywhere near good enough in Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar and the goaltender we've discussed ad nauseum. So everyone's stained here. Everyone's wearing it. All I'm saying is changes are coming.
Yeah, and you can't fire Jonathan Huberdeau from an 8-year contract that kicks in next fall. Like, that's the cruel nature of the business, Frank. Like, yes, there's blood everywhere, but you can't just swing players out that have unmovable contracts that are guaranteed. Coaches get fired because it's easier than firing 23 bodies, right? Like, that's nature of the business.
He is certainly, Jonathan Huberdeau wears a lot of this as well. But does, just in the same way that you can, Rhett, you asked the question of Daryl Sutter won the Jack Adams last year and all of a sudden is not a good coach, does anyone think that Jonathan Huberdeau woke up this year and forgot how to play hockey? Or is it way beyond that? Is it fit? Has it been deployment? Has it been how many days or weeks into the season was it when he said that Huberdeau had to take a shit?
Not many, and they changed lines early, and they had a decent start, and all of a sudden he was changing lines because he didn't think they were scoring enough. The blame, like you said, there's plenty to go around. And Daryl,
that shit comment, by the way, that was the first straw.
I agree with you. I think it changed the whole dynamic of everything that was happening. That's not true. That's not true. For me, the first straw is when they lost to the Edmonton the first time and they changed the lines. They're playing well. They're putting up points. Huberdeau maybe wasn't scoring as many goals, but he had enough points where you were like, that's fine. It's not a big deal. And all of a sudden, we had to scramble the lines. It's like, whoa, are we actually?
Yeah, weren't they 5-1 and 1 or 5-2 at that time?
Yeah, and they mishandle everything. Archer mishandles a puck in the end glass, and it's like everything's in the blender.
And it's interesting to watch lately. Yeah, I mean, it does. I was just going to say, I think it's, if you watch Daryl recently, and I don't know, does ownership have a talk with him? Does he see it himself? Is he persuaded to try and have a little bit more kid glove in terms of treatment? But he's been a different guy you know, speaking more glowingly about Coronado, talking after a loss about, hey, these are, we're tired, it's hard. He has really changed his tone, and I don't think it's by design. I don't think it's by accident is what I'm saying. I think there's been some sort of a message relayed to him. Listen, the guys are unhappy in here. We look a certain way. You gotta take your foot off the gas, or you have to be a little lighter in your comments. I don't know what happens behind closed doors. I don't, like with Pelche when he did the whole glasses, what number does he wear? Maybe in the locker room, he slapped him on the back and said, kid, great night. Happy for you.
No, that's,
I don't know if that happened. But outwardly,
no, you know what? So what happened beforehand, the short story of it is they wanted to know if he was going to make his debut or not. And they wanted to get his parents in there to be able to see it. And Daryl wouldn't give him an answer. So finally it took another player to go upstairs and say, what are we doing here? This kid's been hanging around. Is he making his debut or not? And if he is, at least give him enough courtesy to say, hey, yeah, you can, you're in. Let's get your parents in here to make sure that they see your first NHL game. So apparently the story goes that after that happened and he finally said, yes, he's playing, that's the reaction that you then get. It was like, oh, you forced my hand into me playing this kid. This is how I'm going to handle it publicly, just to let everyone know that this should have been my call. That was his way of pushing back. And that's the stuff that goes on behind the scenes that drives people absolutely bananas.
It's also why I wonder about the notion of him walking away, because it's like, that's how stubborn and power hungry the guy is. Like, I would love the idea of Daryl saying, hey, it's not working. You know, maybe I'll just take a step back and keep me on as an advisor or whatever, and I'll go back to the ranch. But it's the exact opposite of all the actions he's shown us over the course of his career. Like, he's incredibly stubborn. I don't see him bowing to pressure from outside.
Well, that's what makes this entire thing so hard to handicap, and why I don't have any prediction for you as to exactly what's going to happen. I just can't envision this thing rolling on into next season. Yeah, has there been talking twos? Has there been, you need to change your, like, by then it was too late. By then this team's scuffling so far down in the standings, you know, needs the math to really work out in their favor. And the change of tune, the change of heart, everyone can see through it. That's not really who you are. We know what you are, and we've seen it in full view of everyone for months now.
You're muted, Rhett.
Mute.
If the math worked out and they got in, might not that be the worst thing that could happen?
Good
you
Lord.
Know what I mean? Oh, all of a sudden they're, we figured it out at the end. We're going to, next year, we're all in together again. It's all good.
I mean, not to compare situations, but I think back to, like, I'm watching the Canucks right now, and I'm watching the run that they've been on. Is, I think it's something like 11-4-2 or something. And you know that what they're going to be talking about this summer is like, oh, we're so close. Look how good this team is. Those games, they never carry over. It never matters. And I get the idea of putting structure in place and changing the coach and changing the message. Rick Tocchet has done obviously a great, the guy can coach. He's done a great job since he's gotten there. But half that team's not, or part of that team's not going to be back anyway next season. To hang your hat on whatever you see now would be foolish. And in the same way, whatever the Flames would do now, even to sneak in, it almost, like, what would be fun to watch would be the sort of, you know, Flames revenge tour of, hey, we're gonna do this and we're gonna jam it up whoever. But they don't have it. They don't have the goods.
Yeah. Continually falling big opportunities to actually make gains in the standings.
I'm with you. There would be nothing greater for the city and for everybody here to go on a great run over the next 2-3 weeks and then get in and make some noise or whatever. But I'm with Ryan. There's nothing that would suggest that they have that in them. They've not won two in a row. It's like, they cannot string wins together. They cannot do it regardless of level of opponent or home, away, second in as many nights, 3-day break. There's just nothing there. we talked about it last week. Retro, you said it's dysfunction. They feel and look, and I believe are a dysfunctional unit right now. I don't think there's a lot of chemistry between lines 1 and 4 or on the back end. And that massive change could be coming, I think, is probably needed. I believe it's needed. I don't think there's any doubt.
I think the saddest part about it is that this collection of players is a lot better than what they've shown. And it's not all in the coach, and that's not what I'm saying. The players have to own that too. On paper, I think this team is a playoff team. I do. You know, you need a lot of things to go right. You need the goaltending to be a lot better. But to think that this team couldn't be so much better than it is, like, that's the dangerous part in this, is that whatever you blow up or whatever decisions you make, you can't also throw the baby out with the bathwater. And maybe in some ways with some of these contracts, they wouldn't be able to anyway.
It's funny you mentioned Vancouver. Alex, our producer, the Canucks do have more wins than the Flames. It's true. They have one more win than do the Flames. So it feels like when you talk about Vancouver, it's complete disarray. And here this team is so close. What about Winnipeg? What about Nashville? We know that that Duchesne is out week to week. The Winnipeg Jets, as you say, have been scuffling. You see it there, lost. They got a bunch of guys that are out. I didn't realize Forsberg is out and Yossi and all. It's crazy that it feels, you're right, the opportunity should have been there. What's happened to both of those teams? Obviously, Nashville, it's probably injuries, but why is Winnipeg having a hard time getting it together?
They could have put the Flames and the Preds out of their misery like 3 weeks ago. And they have, I don't know what their story is. They've struggled to defend. It's not been the goalie. When you give up 38 goals in a 10-game stretch and you watch the game and you're like, how many times are they going to score on a backdoor tap in? That, I'm sorry, that's not the goalie. And so they've struggled. And then at the same time, when it looks like they finally get their act together defensively, they went through a stretch where they were shut out like 3 times in 6 games and they can't score. So I think they've had a real, and it's going back 2 months and 4 days. January 24th is when you can pinpoint the dip for the Jets in their schedule and their play. It's been ugly. And they're having, it feels like, a crisis of confidence right now, trying to put it all back together again for a team that really up until that point was challenging for the Central Division lead, which is hard to kind of fathom now as they're, you know, hanging on and clinging to a playoff spot. And so what that's done is, against all odds, it's opened up the door for the Flames to kick it down, and they've done nothing. And then on the the Nashville Predators end, they go and sell off pieces. They go 8-6-2 since the day they traded Nino Niederreiter, and then the next day traded Tanner Janot. 8-6-2, and they've got 8 guys out of their lineup. They have a guy scoring goals, Tommy Novak. I don't know. I hadn't heard of him prior to the last couple weeks. He scored 3 goals his senior season in college. He's got like 13 in 36 games.
Great.
It's awesome. It's a great story, but the point is, the Preds have been plucky after plucking pieces off of their roster, and the Flames have been sitting here with this golden opportunity to chase down the Jets and have nothing to show for it.
Yeah, we're doing a daily show here. We're aware. We're doing post-game shows. We're doing shows every day.
Yeah, it's scary.
We see it. Well, thanks for coming back on the show, Frank. I appreciate it. No hard feelings. I'm glad that...
Who's going to make it, Frank?
Mended the fences.
I think the 16 teams that are in today are going to be the 16 teams that are in 20 days from now when the puck drops in the playoffs.
That means Florida's out, too. That big blockbuster both teams miss. That's wild.
Why would they deserve it? They're another team gifted an opportunity with the Pens. They can't get their act together. They've lost 4 straight. And some of the teams that they've lost to, absolutely inexcusable. The Flyers, they lost to the Sens. Like, I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah. All right, Frank.
Just a bowl appreciate of sunshine you. Today.
No, it's good. Love it as always. Good stuff. We'll talk to you next week. Guys. There he is. You betcha. Frank Saravelli, our NHL insider. I mean, to react to that, there's a lot in there, but I think that probably for a Flames fan, the one thing that you would maybe be taken most aback by, and it's Frank's opinion, right? But Frank talks to people, is that he feels like it's, he said coin flip. I don't know if that's exactly where it is, but the fact that Daryl coming back is nowhere near as certain as you might think it is.
What's the proper, I don't think they're making it. The math is tough, but so what's the proper path or I don't know, game plan? That's not the right words I'm looking for, but what order does do the dominoes fall? Do you deal with the GM first and then the coach? And then the players?
Well, you'll have exit meetings. Their last game's on April 12th, I believe. They play San Jose on a Wednesday. You'll do exit meetings. Your GM will do those if he's still around, and he's got a contract. They'll let it roll off rather than fire him if that's the way things go. So the exit meetings are going to tell you a lot. Like, the owners can be a pretty thorough guy, I think we know. And if you get a huge number of players speaking overtly negatively about the coach, I mean, like we said earlier, you can't just swap out 18 guys. There's a lot of guys under contract for next year, and there's a lot of guys you'd like to talk extension with this summer that are free agents a year from now. That probably puts you in a weird spot where your GM, who doesn't have a contract, has to relay that info to the owner, because I don't think the GM will have the ability to fire the coach. There's no way you let a guy that's got a month or two left on his contract fire a coach. No. So it's a weird, like you said last week, Rhett, it's dysfunctional because we really don't know how, you know, the organizational chart works on these big decisions. You cannot suggest that the owner's just sitting watching and allowing people to do their jobs. That's not how this works here.
That's a tough thing too, because it's like, he's got the job. I don't know that they're going to let Treliving go, but if you are letting Treliving go, I guess if you were mathematically eliminated, maybe it would make it more palatable. But if you're, you know, if the owners already decided that we're not bringing them back, and once the Flames are eliminated, do you want to try and bring in someone to view this team for a couple games at the end of the year to get a feel for it? I don't know.
Are you letting an outgoing GM run the draft? Probably not. That would be in the final 2 weeks of his contract, because I believe usually it's the end of June that allows you, a free agency opens July 1. That's when everyone's contracts start fresh. It would be awfully weird to watch a lame duck run through that incredibly busy trade season and draft week, because that's when the haul for Larson 1-for-1 was. That's when we saw all kinds of blockbusters in the last 5 to 10 years, is that week leading up to the draft, because contracts are rolling off the books. The draft is coming up. You can move picks for players, la, la, la. It's a really high, big transaction season. If you don't want this guy back, how are you letting him run that? Now, maybe they are bringing him back and then let him run it, but it's a weird spot to be in.
Well, again, it's just the common sense doesn't make any sense, because if you were bringing him back, then you would think that – and maybe there's a deal in place and they all have agreed to it and they just haven't announced it. I don't know, but it feels odd to think that if you were bringing him back, you'd wait till after the season to announce it too. Like, it's
that's what happened with his last one too. Because remember, it was Ken King's thing was always, we are all under review at the end of the season. And when Treliving's last contract expired, it was the same thing. He didn't know, am I going to the draft? Am I going to be in these meetings? He was holding exit meetings at the end of the season with players, not knowing what am I going to be here in the fall? There was no way of knowing. And then he was.
So that was.
But it was 4 years ago,
was
whatever
2019?
It was.
Yeah, like they lost to Colorado, I believe, was the year before that. Or the year after that.
So anyway, that's. They've never been shy on letting a lame duck scenario exist. And they're not the only team. Some other teams do it too. But my guess is you'll be there for exit meetings. But if he's not coming back, you know, he's not being fired. He's just not coming back. The deal will expire, but you just don't take part in any of the draft meetings. That kind of thing has happened before.
Where there's the show,
something,
right?
So then, you know, it's Craig Conroy. This is Craig Conroy's show. That's my guess. Conroy's been, it's been a lot of years now. it's been a lot of years when you think about it. For us, we're old guys, the years start to pile up. He has been an AGM for a long time now and sitting in wait. If Brad Treliving leaves, I can't imagine they bring in anybody else.
The only thing I would say is that Daryl's got a lot of ties to a lot of people around the league. If Daryl's coming back, he's going to have some say as to who that. If they're putting their faith in Daryl to bring him back, then he's going to have some say, I think, on who's the GM.
Someone like Bob Murray.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
He's got a relationship with, yeah, like there's...
And you know, my belief too, like this is not an owner who goes into a foxhole and say he shows up or gets the word out in exit meetings that, you know, of the 20 players, there were 17 of them that really don't like Daryl. He's aware. It's the same thing with trades or anything else. You have to run things upstairs. Like Murray knows what's going on. And I'm telling you, the Daryl has been far more kind and gentle in the media the last little bit is not by accident. When that stuff happened with Kadri a couple weeks ago, the whole Huberto thing, this has been a season of unrest. Murray Edwards will not be stunned if a bunch of players trot in there on exit day and voice their displeasure with the coach. He's aware. It's been made aware to Daryl. Like, it's obvious. It's just look at any of the Daryl post-game press conferences. That's not him. He's towing the company line.
I
don't know.
You might know there's discontent, but you're not allowed to talk extension with anyone until July 1. Like, if Elias Lindholm says, I would sign here for this number, but not if that guy's there.
That's a ballsy statement by players.
Well, it's a year away from free agency, right? It's honest. It's basically what Kachuk did for you, right?
Well, it's honest, but how many guys? Maybe. I don't know. It's not something that ever crossed my mind that it was my opinion on the GM and the coach mattered.
No, I think specifically a lot, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You remember thinking back to when, you know, Greg Gilbert won the Mark Savard Gilbert battle, right? It was trade Savard, then you got rid of the coach anyway. And that's but I do. I'm with you, Ryan. I think that there's far more, not publicly, but behind closed doors, there's a lot of I'm the star. I'm making money. I hate this coach. I don't want to play for this coach. Look what happened in Boston. Those guys, there are a number of those guys. They hated Cassidy. Krejci fucked off and then came back. And now they're the best team the NHL's ever seen in the regular season. Yeah. It's a new world, man. You're right about that. Players nowadays, they know the leverage that they have and the sway that they have. If they don't like the coach, what's the ownership going to do? What's the management team going to do?
And I don't know that there's a player that's got more sway than Lindholm. When you look at his age, the position he plays, he's a 1C. If you go into next year with two centers in their mid-30s as your 1-2 and Kadri and Backlund, like, because he's saying, I'm not re-signing here and you better trade me now because I'm not, if he's back, I'm gone. Like, get something for me. I mean, like, he's got more leverage than anyone. It's just slotting. Like,
well, and the other thing is you're not going to be surprised if all these guys come back and there is a change being the coach, that this team goes into playoffs and next year and has a hell of a run and plays very well. They are minimum of points away from being in a playoff spot. You could go through the games easily and find 10 points that they should have had.
Just right? It's bottom dwelling. Mark, 10 points. It's fucking ridiculous.
Markstrom alone. If Markstrom's save alone. Percentage is right – Markstrom yep. alone, if he's a little bit better, then yep. all the other discontent and disarray can be happening. And they're in a playoff yeah. spot fighting for to get into the division. So, but I sat at the start of the season. I know we sat and talked and we were doing this show. So this is going to be this is a great time. What a season this is going to be. So much change. Are they going to be better and all of that? This was a complete 180 degrees from what I expected. Did not see Everyone. Any of this coming. I mean,
Rhett asked questions. No one predicted God. That they would be bad. Nobody. You can look through statistical models. You can look at experts. You can talk to people in the business. Everyone thought this was a playoff team. They're, you know, raising questions is as close as we got. No one was willing to stick their neck out and say, this isn't a good team. They're going to miss the playoffs. And that's to what you said last week, Rhett. It's dysfunction. When you see a group that is this talented with this many good players, that's as deep as they are, miss expectations by that much, it reeks of things not being right. It's not, hey, this is what they are, this is as good as they can be. You know, it's just they're not good. That isn't what's frustrating about this team. What's frustrating is that they show you how good they can be at times, and then they fuck the dog for a third of the schedule against bad teams. Like, it drives you insane. It's an infuriating team for this city to have to try to get behind.
And Rhett, to your point with Frank, and I think it's a good one, we've been vocal on this thing about Daryl. This is not just a Daryl Sutter thing. This is not a team that you should be feeling sorry for, that they've got a mean coach and he's not leading them to victories. There's a lot of blame to go around and a lot of guys to wear it. There's no doubt.
Yep. It's a short list of guys that have had really good seasons, like Toffoli, Backlund, Anderson. Like, who am I missing here? Like, obviously,
Vladar has hardly played lately, so he's kind of forgotten. But for the most part, I think Vladar thing. Right? Yeah.
February.
But he was also really good when Markstrom wasn't. Anyway, it's.
Yeah, know. Like, I'd give him a passing grade, but like, there's not many A's and B's on the report cards here. It's, yeah.
Walker Durr,
A plus, baby. Get the jersey.
Number 71. Get the jersey. It is springtime. It's springtime. Sorry, Brent Ryan. It's barbecue season. It's grilling season. If you're one of those people, it's cold outside. In the winter, we don't grill or barbecue. Then that's fine. No more excuses. Losers. There was snow yesterday. It's basically gone. Let's go. Bon-Ton Meat Market. Warner's coming to town. I can't wait for you to unveil the Warner barbecue list.
You had better get to Bon-Ton before I do.
Yeah,
that's a good
Greg. Call, yeah, get the semi loaded up. Bon-Ton Meat Market. If you're gonna go to the trouble and go out there and pick out some steaks or some meat and have some, why would you do anything but go to Bon-Ton Meat Market? Since 1921, they have been treating the city like family. AAA Alberta beef, free range poultry, lamb, milk fed veal, Alberta pork. Was it you that was saying you've never had the meat pies?
That's correct. And my wife's Aussie, and I love meat pies. It's
so retro, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how that needle's been threaded. I don't know how Pinder. Yeah, because we've been talking about the meat pies forever.
Just got to get there before Red, or it's going to be like watching those Black Friday scraps in Walmart in the States.
I'm absolutely I'm floored that you haven't had
the pies. I know. They're delicious. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Hey, it's on the list. Got to get her done.
Meat pies. Meat, you like steak or chicken? Good luck picking. Good luck getting meat. I'll tell you which one's better. Can't do it. Bon-Ton voted Calgary Consumer Choice Award winner for the best deli meat market. 28 Crowfoot Circle, Northwest. BontonMeatMarket.com is the website. Greg, Greg's a big Flames fan. Don't give him your cell number because he will be texting you all the time about, I don't know what
this Bennett's line
is. I'm not sure what the hell's going on. Like, so if you take 27 and think, if you trade them for this guy, what about this guy? Can we get this trade to work? He's all in. So he's all in and everything he does.
There's a GM spot opening up, perhaps.
That's right.
Put his name in that.
That's right. Yeah. Greg. Number one meat man in the city of Calgary. Get after it. Go see him. And get yourself some of the best. You might be right. I'm not going to argue with you.
And then to carry on through Western Canada.
Yeah. Do BC, do they know what they're doing out there? I don't think so.
Hippies.
They don't know what the hell they're doing. Let's do the Pinder Report. Pinder is back, and so too the Pinder Report, a presentation of Village Honda. Pinder went away, but you know what didn't go away? That $1 million buy-in event. Oh. Cash for your vehicle. Village Honda, top dollar. They'll also throw in a tropical cruise to boot. Huh? Yeah, that's right. See more. VillageHonda.com, Northwest Automotive. Your dealership for life. Let's do the Pinder Report.
Game day, fellows. It's the LA Kings. You ate to see it. A team that just destroyed them last week. Oh, dear. There it is. Was that the post game we did that? I don't know if it was that one or a different one. Yeah, that's going full Tanguay there with the Titleist hat. Boom. It's a good look. Here's what the Flames are facing in terms of, the postseason. We know the math is bad. Here's how bad. Ryan Pike from Flames Nation. The elimination number is 6.5. So any Winnipeg win or Calgary loss drops it by one. Both teams have 8 games left. So if Winnipeg, won 4, you'd almost have to run the table to get in. That's a half. So good luck, fellows. Here are the Flames lines from Skate this morning. A lot of similarities from what you saw in a winning lineup against San Jose on Saturday. Huberto still with Backlund and Coleman. Nick Ritchie still in an NHL lineup as Jacob Pelche watches from above. And Walkner on that fourth line with Lewis and Lucic. There's your pairs. Still no Chris Tanev, Dean, which means Uyghur slides over to his right shot side and plays with Zadorov, Hanifin, and Anderson reunited as the top pair. Gilbert and Stetcher, your third pair. This Tanev one.
Uyghur's been good, though.
What's that?
Uyghur's been pretty good lately. I like him.
Why? He has. I liked him a lot with Anderson. He's on a bit of a heater points-wise. And, another thing you'd love to have seen for the first two-thirds of the season, right?
Yeah, that'd been a
thing. Take it back, Retro? Are you going to take it back?
No, I'm not taking it back because he pissed away 6 months of the year. One month doesn't really make up for – anyway.
Matt Coronato, you guys talked about it yesterday, signed on the weekend. He's got a number, and we got more info on Coronato. He's going to wear number 39 for the Calgary Flames,
Brian Skrudlin.
Clark Wilm.
Screwy. Was Wilm? I thought Wilm was 23. Maybe a few.
He's 23. Yes.
Yeah.
39.
Kelly Chase Doug was Wade. 39, but he was St. Louis. Doug Gray. Doug Gilmore. Was Doug Gilmore 39 in Calgary?
Doug Gilmore was 93.
Wow. It was 9 in Calgary? No, I was Wayne Lanny. Okay. Moving along. You want more on young Coronato? We've got an article up on flamesnation.ca from our buddy Bob Monick. What do you want to?
Hey there, Bob.
Well, he's laid it out. Expectations, what you'll likely see. I guess the conundrum being Daryl hates to play young players, and they're not mathematically eliminated yet. So the question, fellows, will Coronato play before they're mathematically eliminated? Remember the mascot?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. And as excited as we might all be to see him play, I don't know if it's the right thing to do.
I guess the question is, until you're mathematically eliminated, should you operate logically or just by the straight numbers? If there's still a glimmer, do you give it all you got? Or do you say, look, we're realists, we're missing. Let's get Wolf up. Let's see what Zary looks like. Let's get this kid in, Coronato.
How about Phillips, who's leading the A in goals?
Phillips, yeah, yeah, no, but Darryl would have said, hey, I tried him. I gave him 11 minutes twice. I know everything about him.
I think you have to go for it with the team you have or started the year with. And the minute you're eliminated, you go all in, kids. Every kid you got, play the piss out of them. That won't happen.
Which they did 2 years ago. So, yeah, good stuff. Next.
Should do. Won't do it.
Kings come in. Red hot retro, 10-0-2 in their last 12.
Oilers have been playing some.
Go ahead.
I've never seen 24. You know, you're at the roulette table.
Mm-hmm.
You want to bet the streak? No way. The streak's too long for the Kings. We got to go red.
12 blacks in a row. It's going to go red, dude.
Yep.
That way, bets of the day.
I like that. Yeah, there it is.
Black. Kings lines look as such. You noted that Fiala back. I still think that Byfield in the top line, that he looked really good against them last week. That makes it all make sense for them. And Carl Grundstrom on the fourth line had a pair last time. Things were going well for the Kings a week ago.
Boy, Carl.
Yeah. Carl. Flames will be sporting these jerseys in warm-up.
Yeah.
Tonight. They've got their pride jerseys tonight. They've been crushing it with these warm-up jerseys throughout the year. We saw Lunar New Year. We've seen what else? There's the First Nations night that they had. They had the Black History Month one with all the Jerome trophies and stats. Tip of the cap to the Flames. These all are gorgeous. And please, you know, let us buy them, you jerks. All you can do apparently is auction them off, and that's NHL policy. But tip of the cap to the Flames. They're all pretty. They're good-looking jerseys, Dino. Congrats to the team involved in that.
Wrong. They look as good NHL when you get the policy. Mustard and the ketchup stains on, maybe some nacho cheese on the front.
So you need to go with the black jersey.
You get the Black History Month, for sure. I know that you're very inclusive and everybody can play. It's not about pride or anything, but if I were you, the white one's a real hazard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're going in, you're getting that pocket dog with the cheese sauce, and then you're getting it all the sauces in there. It's just everywhere. A disaster waiting. Yeah.
Okay, standings look as such. Still behind Nashville. Well, not really, but kind of. They've got two games in hand, 1 point behind. Last playoff spot held by the Jets. It's going to take a Hail Mary, friends, and there's Darryl under center looking to heave one 60 yards to the end zone. We'll see how things go down the stretch. Yeah, you win tonight. Okay, maybe there's a glimmer, but it feels like we can do eulogies tomorrow, Dino, if they don't win this one against a red-hot Kings club that gave them fits last week. What do we got for an update? Your old pal Darren McCarty, Rhett? Guess what he's up to these days?
Oh, I saw this yesterday. Dean had a best of
don't
the weekend.
Don't show it.
Damn
it. Don't show
it. Trouble? Did we get in trouble?
Yeah, can't show it.
I just have a tweet. That's all I have. It's
yoink. Yeah.
Really?
Old Impact Wrestling said, hey, what are you Jack and Apes doing up there? You can't be showing Darren McCarty getting powerbombed. Can't happen. But I did say, after watching Darren get powerbombed, my only guess is he's going to be seeking retribution. That was my guess yesterday.
That's kind of how that goes. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry then what I missed that.
So what's this? Oh,
there's more coming.
Man tag. Wow. So, hey, Retro.
You're right. Huh? Payback. Yeah. McCarty, Maltby, and Draper taking on, I don't know who. Well,
the Claude grind line. On the other side. Yeah, let's go. Get Lemieux in there. Come on.
Oh, D-Mac.
Remember when we tried smelling salts in studio, Dean? That was, we thought it'd be fun, and then we almost concussed ourselves by actually sniffing salts. It's not just us that are pathetic loser media wimps. How about one of the toughest guys in the NHL, Ryan Reeves? Little whiff of the smelling salts on the bench on the weekend, right? Did you see this?
I think it's higher octane. That's the whole point. That's the whole point behind it.
But watch, he does the. Oh, that's.
Oh.
Yeah, you can.
And then he's like, you know what? I'm just gonna need a moment here.
Because he took the first one and then handed it back. He's like, no, give me the other one. So he needed the full octane the water. Stuff. Yeah.
Need the water. You do it without the water.
That was
nothing.
You.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof. just leaking.
The goop starts right out of your eye sockets.
I'm going to do some research here.
All right.
Like, yeah, what were smelling salts?
How did we invent these, right?
Yeah. Like, who decided?
Like, and if they're just out there in the world, like, how would you even get close to them? You'd be falling over a kilometer away.
My question would be, you would smell it, be like, oh my God, oh Jesus. How would you make that connection to, you know, when I should do that is before a sporting event so that I'm more alert and ready for the contest. I don't know how you'd make that connection.
It's got to be boxers. They're lunatics. It's the only way.
Been around since the 13th century, fellas.
Jeez. It's
a long time.
Retro, I need your attention here. I've got some images of a hoity-toity, fancy, you know, the stars on the sidewalks. Ritzy Buffalo, New York. As we have more images from the multi-billion dollar stadium with no roof in Buffalo that is being designed. So that
my in-laws, yes, on Sunday at Nona's, my in-laws had decided, because they all think they're brilliant, they were going to design a floating roof to move in and out to cover the
floating. That would be another billion, probably, and I don't know that they're going to find that under the couches in New York City.
You know, I should head over to the Home Depot, get some tarps and some bungee cords, and we'll just strap it around the lid. If it's hot, we'll take it off, and then if it's going to be shitty out, we'll just grab the bungees and put it over the top.
They were going to use
retro
magnets.
Pass the red sauce.
They were going to use magnets to secure it.
Magnets.
Very strong magnets.
Do your in-laws have a bathtub? Do they have a bathtub in their front yard?
No.
Not in the winter, Dean.
Engine block out of a 75 Buick or something like that in the front yard?
It looks nice, but it should have a roof. And you know what? The league should step in and go, hey, you dumbasses. You missed two games year because of the stupid.
It looks like if the roof fell in on the saddle dome. It looks like if there was a big snowfall and the middle of the dome fell in, that's where the Flames would be playing.
Beautiful.
Come on.
Okay, next. We love umpires, especially umpires that think they're more important than players and have huge egos and are actual massive riches.
That's the personality if you're an ump.
This is a Grapefruit League game yesterday. Grapefruit League. It's JT Realmuto, probably the best catcher in baseball, behind the plate. And the prior pitch, the umpire threw a ball to the pitcher. So there's your context for what we're watching. This is Grapefruit League play between the Blue Jays and the Phillies yesterday.
Now here's the action right here.
That's so great.
The umpire felt like Realmuto took his bum out of the way, and I think Realmuto didn't sense
so
that
the umpire thinks he's getting screwed by Realmuto. Moving his glove, but Realmuto said, you just threw it to the pitcher. You didn't put it in there, so I didn't think I was getting the ball. I'm not trying to upstage you. Imagine thinking you're that important, that everything's about you. Holy shit.
He's like, dude, it's March. What are you doing? Okay, you're going to throw the ball?
You're out of here.
Tossed him. Like, Jesus Christ.
That guy just get an earful from his wife all breakfast table? Like, how do you act like that? That's ridiculous. How sour is that?
What are you doing?
Oh, Richard.
Try some decaf, Dick. God.
Big Nick Alberga with the video there. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
Can you backtrack on that, though? Like, once you've made the toss move, you're committed, aren't you?
I think you're in.
You can't go back on a call. You're an ump. There's never bad judgment. Stick to your guns. You're not going back to New York to review that one. Ugh, gross.
If I was the pitcher, if I could throw a ball that far, I'd have drilled one right at that ump.
Yep. Oh, whoops, missed it.
Next catcher to come in, don't bother catching this. It's going
I got
high,
our wires
right
crossed.
By your head. Yep.
Bring the heat up. Bring the heat, and the catcher's like, oh, is my shoelace untied?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Ball.
Wham.
And I think when he got tossed, there was video and he's fist pumping on the way out. He's like, it's spring. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I don't care. Pop, thanks.
I'll be at Hooters with David Wells.
Yeah, you're right. I've made the team. This is okay. Don't worry about me.
Yeah, freaking really teaching them a lesson. Sounds like the Washington, whatever the hell they're called, the Commandos, the football club.
You want to know what really happened there? That catcher told the ump, he said, get me out of this game. I got to get some money.
He's like, I got to take a shit. I'm going to shit myself.
I got to take a dump. Don't put it in there. Ah, toss me.
I had like three oranges. They had orange slices out before the game. I got the squirts. You got to get me out of here. Okay, I'm going to, okay, so am I good to go? Oh my God. It's running down my leg. I got to go.
Get me out of here.
Maybe that is what happened, right? Good thought. Yeah, that's a good show.
Washington NFL team. Yep. Dan Snyder, noted asshole and loser, wanted $6 billion. Sounds like people are going to meet his price. $6 billion for a dysfunctional, bad football team. Amazing.
Where's the downside for Dan Snyder?
He's going to learn his lesson, Rhett, as he
he's going to have a tough time getting Scrooge ahead with that
pool.
$6 billion.
That might be great for you, Dan, but do you know what? There's a lot of people out there who really think you're kind of a jerk. Carry on with your day. Here's your $6 billion.
You got $6 billion, all kinds of people shining.
Oh my God. You really taught him a lesson. Yeah, he'll learn. And the most important part is that'll teach other sports owners never to conduct themselves in a similar fashion.
That's right.
Because of what happened to poor Dan Snyder.
Now, we talked about it, Rhett. You nailed it on the head the post game last week. Dysfunctional team. This video has leaked out, and it's believed to be Daryl Sutter and Jonathan Huberdeau, and it looks like it might be Stephen Avenue Mall here. Let's have a watch here, okay? There we go.
It does look like Stephen Avenue Mall.
I like this.
Let's see. Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh.
Oh, spin and kick.
Oh, no. Playing the bass. Boom.
Yeah. Oh, look out. If you're not watching, there are two gentlemen on a downtown street, and they are giving each other the middle fingers with a lot of vigor. Yeah.
That was the Ronaldo goal. You do the 180 and throw your hands down.
You ever blow up the balloon?
Yeah, that's a good one.
How does that go, Rhett? Yeah.
Oh, got it.
Such a good one. And they rarely see that one coming. They're like, what's he doing? Are your hands? Maybe his hands are cold. Are your hands cold? Oh, you son of a bitch. You got me. You got me again.
That's your Bender report. Bunch of grown-ups here.
Or what about the crank? When you crank it?
That's what the shoveler did to me when she ate my cookie earlier today.
Oh, what? And I called
her and I said, get out of my cookie.
She put you, give me the crank?
Yes.
Oh man, I didn't.
I got to get McCarty in here. Give her the.
I'll pick up some moves here.
You do.
Watch the Ronaldo right here. This is the red one. He's pulling the rope, and then this is the Ronaldo one. Ready? 180.
Bam! I like it. Yeah, that's good. I do like it. That's been a tremendous Pinder report for Village Honda. Money well spent for Village Honda, for sure. They are paying top dollar for your vehicle. They'll buy yours even if you don't buy theirs. Sellers receive a tropical cruise for two exclusively at Village Honda, Northwest Auto Mall, the dealership. Your dealership for life. It's Village Honda. Man, the shuffler. How do you rebound from that after, like, the crank? That's
rattled. I've been trying to come up with something the whole show.
Yeah. When was that she did that to you?
This morning. An
hour and a half ago.
Like earlier today? Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't know how Rookie you kept it together too. Here. Incredible focus by you, bud. Incredible focus by you.
Note on tonight's game. Markstrom confirmed as Calgary starter, and just moments ago, Corpusalo confirmed for the Kings, not Phoenix Copley, who we saw last week. Kings.
Copley let in 6 on 22 the other night against St. Louis
for the win.
Maybe 7-6. Yeah, and still came away. Yeah, 19 save victory for Phoenix Copley. This one, now there's some discrepancy, so it depends what time zone you're in. whether it was yesterday in Flames history or today in Flames history, March 27th, March 28th, and it was, well, which is all very convoluted. And what I'm telling you is it's McLeod Law. We're going to do this for McLeod Law. We'll explain what it's about. They are proud Calgarians. Their roots in our city are deep. A big part of their long-standing client relationships has been knowing what matters to people in the city of Calgary. They understand the city, the people in it, the way things work, like the communities they serve. Their team is varied. It's diverse. They share a commitment in making a positive impact on Calgary. Whatever your legal need might be, and I know that this is, oh, for all your legal needs, call, but truly, this is, you contact McLeod Law, talk to the people there. They'll find something, whatever your need is, something that works and is catered and detailed exactly for you. CalgaryPersonalInjury.ca for Peter Klein, of course, the injury personal injury lawyer, but the main website, McLeod-Law.com. So it was the 27th of March, and Jerome Iginla scratched from a hockey game. Oh. What? I remember looking at the game sheet, and at the bottom it has scratches, and seeing Jerome Iginla's name on there. And it was very surreal. You felt that you knew this was coming. Jerome's time in Calgary was probably over, but this was the signal that there was not going to be any reconciliation at the 11th hour or something coming your way. This has to have meant that Jerome Iginla was being traded. And we found out later that night, but in the East, the next day, that Jerome had been traded. He had been traded to the Boston Bruins. But just wait a sec. It's not the Boston Bruins. It's the Pittsburgh Penguins. A wild chapter in that era of the Calgary Flames. As the story goes, the deal had been done between Boston and Calgary. Iginla was going to be a Bruin. They contacted Jerome to say, hey, congrats, we got a deal. You're going to Boston. And it was, what about Pittsburgh? You got any, can you make something called? Work with the Penguinos? So, Ray Shiro, the GM of the Penguins at the time, had been negotiating on a trade for Iginla. Here's all, because it was Aaron Ward on TSN, right at the end of a broadcast.
Goes, wasn't that Iginla's been traded? Aaron Ward?
Yeah. Former Bruin. He found out from the boss, yeah, we just traded. And they had, except they needed player approval, which they didn't get. Ray Shiro calls Jay Feaster to say, hey, congrats on getting that deal done. It's too bad we didn't get anything worked out. Feaster's like, we don't have a deal. Ugh. It's everywhere. What are you talking about? Jerome hasn't signed off on it. Well, what can we do? And the next thing you know, Jerome Iginla traded to the Pittsburgh Penguins. And that post-game press conference with Jay Feaster, waiting to see what's happened. What are they getting from Boston? So it's fine. What are you getting? We've traded Jerome to the Pittsburgh Penguins. It was, pardon me? Did he just say Pittsburgh? And then trotted out the deal. And in fact, so it was March 27th, but because of how it all worked in the East, it was 28th. So somewhere within these last 2 days, on this day in Flames history, a tough one as Jerome dealt to the Penguins.
Can you remember the package? Ben Hanowski.
Kenny Agostino, a forward from Flanders, New Jersey. He was a fifth-round pick of Pittsburgh in the 2010 draft out of Little Falls, Minnesota, going to St. Cloud State. Ben Hanowski from Little Falls, Minnesota. He, of course, was 6'2", 210. So a couple of, a couple of forwards out of the U.S. college. Never heard of them. Don't know anything about them. But there had been, as you remember at that time, more of a focus put on U.S. college kids. These guys that were maybe late bloomers or just maybe flew under the radar a little bit. So Ben Hanowski, Kenneth Agostino, and a first-round pick to the Calgary Flames in exchange for Jerome Iginla, the first round pick. It didn't really, and I feel bad because Morgan Klimchuk's such a nice kid, but it didn't really work out. So not a great deal in the end.
Oh,
and
no.
on the flip side, the Boston trade, now there's no telling what they would have done with that pick, but it was going to be Matt Bartkowski, Alexander Kokhlachev, and a first round pick. So that one wasn't a home run either. So sad. Ordinarily on for these, it's like for McLeod Law, you like to really kind of, here's a great thing that happened in Flames and in Calgary history, but it was not ideal.
Has remember that first game? Has anyone team wasted more of their superstars than the Flames?
I remember seeing this. Sorry, Retro. This was a Ginla's first goal. It looks weird now. It looked weird then.
Yeah, totally. Kunitz and Malkin. Must be fun.
Time and room for Kunitz. Fakes as if he's going to take it to the net. That's tremendous patience there. Tyler
Myers, you know what, Retro? You look back. There are some of these trades that have happened. Remember that when Solani and Correa both went to Colorado and everybody basically said, just give them the cup. Why bother playing the season? Just give them the cup. There have been some deadline deals. There have been things that have happened. And that was kind of the same here. Pittsburgh was already so good. And then they had one of the best power forwards of the generation. Yeah. That was a missed opportunity for them, big time, looking back.
Going to Boston next year, and it was the same thing.
Lost to Boston. I don't remember the series, but I remember talking to him about it. He's like, we completely dominated that series, hit posts left and right, and just didn't put the puck in the net, but had every opportunity to win, just didn't finish it. And then he goes to Boston the next year.
Didn't work there either. In Colorado, didn't work there. LA.
Colorado was the weird one.
Yeah. They weren't quite ready for him. And it was a 3-year deal. It's like, look, if you're just looking to win cups, just go a year at a time. Like, it can't be about the money right now, can it? And it was Agostino went to Yale. Hanowski was the St. Cloud State. Both in Europe before, retiring. Actually, one's playing this year. Agostino's in playing Torpedo Nizhny Novgorod.
Oh.
KHL, baby.
So,
4-goal.
Maybe there's still the trade could still pan out then if the Flames wanted to.
Well, they don't hold his rights, and he is 30 playing in the K.
NHL deal. I'm sure you could probably
bring him back.
Come on back.
Give him a try. He's probably matured.
Yeah, what's that 4 goals per rate to? 1 over here? Let's go.
Personal injury specialists, Peter Klein and his folks over at McLeod Law. McLeod-Law.com, social media at McLeod Law LLP. Let them take the stress off of your shoulders, out of your life. You've got enough to deal with. Let them do all that legal and insurance and medical stuff. You worry about you. McLeod Law is on your team and they want to help. McLeod-Law.com. Peter Klein, great guy. We have a bunch of, 10 games tonight. The Kings come to town. And
with Jets and Preds both in action as well, if you still care.
Yeah, I suppose there is that. The Kings are a fun team. I don't know, is it credit to Todd McClellan? I don't know that there was a whole lot of, when he went there as the coach. Yeah, and I guess we were so close to it coming out of Edmonton, right? It was every coach that left Edmonton wore it. So I don't know what his rep was as a coach. I don't know what you take away from his time in Edmonton, but this is now his third stop, San Jose, Edmonton, and now LA. And there's some that feel that he's a finalist for the Jack Adams this year with what he's done in LA. I'm sure there's some other teams in the East.
That'd be an interesting list around, but
yeah. I think in Seattle, Hackstall, who we scratched our head and wondered what the hell were they doing getting that guy, he's probably in that mix. 40 wins, they've been tremendous.
Back for everyone there.
And I don't know.
You know what it is
in
LA,
Boston,
guys.
Do you look past, sorry, I was just going to say Jim Montgomery. If you have one of the best seasons ever, are you not in that mix? So, sorry, go ahead.
The team the Oilers do not want any part of is the LA Kings. And Edmonton's been compiling wins here, but it's like 7-6 over a bad team, 5-4 over a bad team. They let Arizona climb back into it last night, win by 1. The results are good. It's just style points are ugh. The team they want no part of is the LA Kings. It was a tough 7-game series last year. The Kings are deeper and better than they were last year. And honestly, like, McClellan knows that team inside out. Not to say that, oh, well, I know McDavid, I can beat McDavid, but I think they gave them more than many people thought last year, and they're better this year. That's a team, if you're Edmonton, you want no part of. Depth, deep down the middle, and they, for whatever reason, have got goaltending. Didn't think they would get it, but they got it.
I was going to say, you talked about the Oilers goaltending, but it was enough to get them through two friggin' rounds last year. Flames couldn't take advantage of that goaltending, but
well, two different guys.
About Skinner, if yeah, is Skinner going to be? Is he going to be better for them when it matters than Smith was?
Well, what's his playoff track?
I wonder a bit about Edmonton. They can beat you a number of different ways, and sometimes it is high scoring and it's power play fueled, but they worry me a little bit this year. They worry me a little bit. That Ekholm ad was probably a pretty good ad. That guy is, that one guy they've got, I think he's leading the league in scoring, and the other guy they've got, I think he's like right there too.
Third.
Not ideal. Not ideal. And Rhett, we know how you feel about the Oilers.
Yeah, what is that you say?
They stink.
Yeah, we'll hear about that in a moment. Before we head out, I want to tell you one more time, Jasper Travel, especially now. Now it's easier to see. It's easier to kind of wrap your head around. Warmer temperatures means get outside, enjoy yourself. Spring skiing up in Jasper. Warmer temps. The escape card is still in effect. The half price lift tickets right through to the end of the season. Conditions are still great. They serve drinks on the patio. They have a patio, and you can enjoy, when the sun's out, you can sit outside, maybe kick off your ski boots, and have beverages on the patio. I didn't know they did that there. You can plan your summer camping trip, your excursion. Start doing that now. The reservations opened for the front country on the 16th, the back country on the 28th. So go and book your summer spots now. SkyTram is opening up. Is open now. The golf course is opening in May, so it's time. Jasper Travel. Go online, book your spots, and enjoy one of the most beautiful, truly, literally, one of the most beautiful spots that you'll find on the planet. We live in a part of the world, men. Those people from other countries, other parts of the world, they book their holidays to come here. It's one of their life's journeys to come where we live. We should take advantage.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
The problem is Dean's one day at a time, Rhett. He doesn't know what he's doing tomorrow. So
no, I can't do that.
Really, to get him a calendar. Could go 50-50 on that, Rhett. We'll get him to look ahead at the next month, see what days fall on what days of the week and all that sort of thing. We'll get you up there.
Yeah, my calendar may just be like a 4 or 5 day. Yeah, it is après ski. Very nice. Frances of you. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, are you happy with your golf game, Pinder? Because you went down.
Fucking
you golfed
awful.
With your dad. We know that this was some kind of a thing. Did your dad? Was he happy with his partner?
You know what? It was the expectations were set very low, as they should have been, having not picked up a club much in the last half year. So there was some moments of brilliance, and my handicap reflected how bad I was, but I think it would have been a passing grade until the last day Saturday, when I had 5 in a row that I literally hit off the hosel, like straight shanks, dead right. And that's a sign of someone that's lost it and that needs to start drinking again because he's going to lose his mind.
And that's when the drink.
Yeah. He won the match 5-4, but it was trying times.
What do you win? What do you win at the big tournament? Is it a big cash prize?
There was 12 flights. There's obviously a big, what do they call it, a paramutual where you can bet on each other. And then each flight winner of all the 12 went out on, and they did a horse race to determine the champion. So no matter whether your first or 12th flight, everyone, and they eliminated 3 or 4 teams a whole until there was 3 left. It was, and then everyone is watching, it was tons of fun to see people that were good at golf at the end doing that. But big old trophy, some prize money, lots of fellas are making some wagers.
Do they drink out of the trophy when they win? Do they pour in champagne?
No, it's
over
like
their
a
heads?
Horse is that it... someone's like lassoing. It's not a, there's no, it's not, you can't drink out of it. But mainly it's bragging rights at the golf course with all your retired golf buddies. Are you kidding me?
Do you get You get the parking spot, the club championship parking spot.
No, it's not club chance.
Come on,
guest. Club chance.
They're all handy spots for those old farts, anyway.
They all got their own golf carts. No one drives there. Your golf cart in and out.
Yeah. Well, that's what we were saying. We wondered. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he sure, said, dude. I bet you it's one of those things.
Riding golf carts everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just out the back door of the condo or of the spot and just putter over to the course in your golf cart. You did call it. Yeah.
Yep. That's how it is down there.
Nice.
Easy living.
Awesome.
Grapefruits growing in the backyard. Love it.
Do you feel like your performance was enough to get you an invite back for next year? Like, oh, son, man, that was so great. We'll do it again next year.
He's got two sons.
Or if it's we're on a rotation. Bob's
Bob. The other kid's a dick. There's no way.
Bob Dog's got first right of refusal, I think. And if he waves, he said he'd be happy to have me back. But
Bob Dog,
we're gonna have to do some serious closet training next winter if that's happening. The short game is just.
You're invited back awful. If my favorite son doesn't come.
Well, to be fair, it would be decent to rotate. You wouldn't want to show favorites, even though one's much better at golf than the other. It's a handicap event. You know, whatever.
It is Bob's turn next year, so you know what's Bob's. Fair is fair, Ryan. Yeah.
No, if Bob's not too busy.
Yeah. So you were getting some reaction over the smooch cam, were you?
Well, I'm like, what? Someone sent a screenshot, and I'm like, what? I was in that. What? Oh, they showed it again. They're being dicks. Okay, got it.
Not being just analyzing. We were just analyzing because it came on. Again. Yes, it was kind of, we had to break it down. We had to drill down on this. We were just wondering about the seating arrangement because you were sitting right next to your sister. You're very close. We just wondered about, who did you go? You don't need to answer these questions. No, you go, like, look at your right. You're sitting on her lap.
That is not correct.
I just don't know.
Her husband would be directly to her left if he wasn't getting a beer and taking a piss.
Wouldn't you sit next to him? Or are you looking to catch up with your sister?
And I think it was just the order that we walked back from the intermission.
So who did you go with? Were you with
my buddy Honger, Beauty. He's a bit of a maniac.
Yeah. Okay. So you're gonna sit next to your buddy, right?
Yep, it was on my right.
And then out of those two, your wife and her husband, you were more inclined to sit next to her than...
I think he sat there half the time and she sat the other half. But when the kiss cam was on, yes, we were sitting beside each other, Dean.
Okay, my husband's finally gone. Move over here and sit over here. Then he'll just sit
down. It does look like a lot of empty seats there.
There's no one around you. And look how happy you are. Such a happy couple.
Like, oh boy, here we go. It's the whole family now.
I can't. No, it's my sister.
Not in public, guys.
She's got a drink in her hand. Drinks as much as her brother. That's good.
I'm banging this guy. That's what she said there. Isn't that what that said?
Oh, okay.
No.
I don't know.
Weird.
And it's her birthday in a couple days. So, yeah, I'll turn 40.
Lena Nova.
Happy birthday. Yeah, what are you getting her?
I think you do.
Nice, I hope.
Brother and I have chipped in to get them a flight somewhere, the couple, and we'll look after their kids.
Whoa!
She doesn't know that yet, though. So.
I
turned 40 a couple of years ago, and Jody and I went on a flight to Vegas. They got us a flight to Vegas. So they started that tradition. We got to keep it going. You can't just be the
my brother turned 50 in August, so I didn't get him a damn thing.
Because you don't like him. Maybe the older you get. So for his 40th birthday, what did you get him? Same thing. Yeah.
You should get him a toothbrush and some floss, something like that, eh? Some complimentary. Here's a travel kit.
On the show tomorrow it's going to be a Wednesday. We'll look back at this banger of a game, the Kings and the Flames.
It's going to be a barn burner of a game, Dean, a barn burner.
And what will what will the math be when we reconvene tomorrow? as we watch the Boston Bruins are playing Nashville. Tough one for the Preds. Tough one for the Preds, right?
Boston Winnipeg can wrap up the presence of tonight.
That's right. If they get some Winnipeg's help. In San Jose. Sharks, really tough. Really tough team in the Sharks, right? They're loose. They got nothing to play for. Dangerous.
I wonder if they'll be getting under the Rhyme Dog skin like they did the slap shot, just whispering things behind the net, eh? Getting in his ears.
Yeah, yeah. Suzanne. That'll do it. We'll see you tomorrow, buddies. Have a great day. Enjoy the game. And we'll be back. On
Dean, get out of your house today. Go see the sun, all right?
Nope.
Oilers suck.
See you, buddies.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A change of seasons means adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow, or all of the above on the same day. This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. With all-condition traction and materials and features to keep you comfy and dry no matter what, you'll be ready for anything. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. Allbirds.com, code FRESHSOCKS.